me, if you would, to Genesis, the 21st chapter, Genesis 21, verses 8 through 21. And we're going to talk about the God that heals broken hearts. The God that heals broken hearts. How many has ever had your heart broken? Or felt like you've been as far, went as far as you can go and you just can't go any further? Just like your world's collapsed in around you and there's nothing going to fix it. Well, we're going to talk about Hagar today, and we're going to find out that there's still a God that heals broken hearts, and God loved her very much, and her son, and Ishmael, and he loves you very much, and he hasn't forsaken you. So we're going to read. Let's read Genesis 21, 8 through 21. It says this, "And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw that Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking." The son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be an heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." Now let me stop right there and make a footnote. It was illegal for him to kick her out of his home, especially after she had bore him a son. But nevertheless, it was grieving his heart. It was his son to start with, and this boy was around 17, anywhere from 16 to 18 years old at this time, Ishmael. And so Abraham's very grievous, and we see that because of his son. "And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt." Father, today, open the eyes of our heart. Help us, Lord, to see what you want us to see in this scripture. And help us, Lord, to rightly divide it in Jesus' name. After what had happened to Hagar in chapter 16, here we are in chapter 21. Now, you know, she had been given to Abraham as a concubine so that he might father a child to be the child of promise. They had gotten out of God's will, by the way, as Sarah had when she gave that woman to Abraham to father a child of promise. God never intended for that to happen, but it did. And after that, she did have a child and seemed to have favor with Abraham. Sarah, over in chapter 16, had commanded her to leave, had driven her out of the camp and told her to go away, and God had brought her back at that time, told her to get back, or she didn't tell her to leave. Actually, she had been very mean to her and treated her very harshly, the Bible says, and she ran away, took the child and ran away into the wilderness, and there God spoke to her through an angel and said, go back. So she went back, and now she's there, been there 16, 17 years, and now Sarah has the child of promise, Isaac, and now she's saying, this is enough's enough, Abraham, get rid of the woman. So she's being treated kind of harshly here. See, she was a slave lady. She had no choice in the matter. She was a bondwoman, a concubine. She had to do what they told her to do because she apparently had been bought with a price. Either that or her parents had been slaves and she was born a slave. So here she is, stuck in a situation, not of her own making, but yet here she is, found herself in a situation that she's not proud of, but yet she has to operate within it and try to find the will of God in her life. And have you ever found yourself like that? Not knowing exactly why you're where you're at, but yet you know you're there? And trying to find out what God wants you to do. So they've been cast out of Abraham and Sarah's house, cut off from all their friends, their family, their support, their shelter, and their protection. They've just been kicked out into the wilderness. Although Hagar was a servant, her son was the son of Abraham, they had nothing. He didn't give them a big amount of gold. He didn't, everyone had thought he was a child of promise and one day would receive everything that Abraham had. But here he is, they've been booted out of their home with nothing. How fair was that? It couldn't have been fair. It couldn't have seemed fair. It wouldn't have seemed fair to you. To have lived there almost all your life, the son raised up as the son of promise, thought he was the heir of all that Abraham had, and one day his mama comes and says, "Son, we gotta go." Or daddy comes to you and says, "Son, grab hold of your mama's hand. You're leaving." That'd be tough. And he's a teenager at that. Boy, don't you know that went all over that boy. He probably burrowed up and wanted to take his fist and slap his dad upside the head, although he's 100 years old. I've
thought about that a time or two when I was a kid. I'm glad I didn't do it.
So I'd have found myself picking myself up off the floor, probably after a few moments of unconsciousness. My daddy wouldn't have put up with it. But here they are, they find themselves with nothing, absolutely nothing. After all, Sarah had given this servant to Abraham for the express purpose of conceiving the child of promise. But God had other plans, and he was still in control of the situation. Come on, stay with me today if you can. God knew it was best for Hagar and Ishmael to leave Abraham. Nevertheless, he did not forsake them, for they remained in his care. God had a purpose for Ishmael, and he'd make a great nation out of him. That's a promise from the Word of God. I'm going to make a nation out of him also. And he had, and he is, and his descendants are all over the Middle East today. Part of the promise where God said, "I'll make your descendants as the stars of the sky and the sands by the edge of the seashore." And God did just exactly what he promised. But let's get into this sermon today. Number one, there are things that discourage us. There are things that discourage us. Every single one of us has things that discourage us every now and then. Discouragement means to be disheartened or to feel dejected. How many of you have ever been disheartened? Come on now, I know you have. How many's ever felt dejected? How many's felt rejected? I mean, we all have at one time or another. Hagar didn't ask for this problem, nor did she do anything to deserve the treatment. She was a good servant. She did what she was asked to do. She served them with purpose, and she served them with love, and she did everything she knew to do to please her master. She did it all. She did everything. But she had become an object of resentment or a deep sense of affront to Hagar. Doing everything she's supposed to do, having done all she was standing, she was doing what she's supposed to do for the kingdom. Have you ever felt that way? Doing all you're supposed to do, raising your family the way you ought to, trying to be a good citizen, and then all of a sudden you find yourself an object of resentment. Where'd that come from? Why is that happening? Well, we've all felt that at one time or another. She had become the object of Sarah's wrath and anger. Wrathful indignation. She had become a subject of that. Here she was, had been that good servant. Now all of a sudden, Sarah can't stand the sight of her. Resents her. Resents everything about her. She's, for one thing, she was a whole lot younger. The Bible teaches us that Sarah was beautiful to look at, but no doubt this woman must have had some kind of looks. And when she gave them to Abraham, he didn't protest real big, did he? You don't read it in the Bible if he did. Well, okay, honey, if that's what you want. Hey. Well, it wasn't right, but it's what God intended. You know, sometimes things go wrong. So, but she had been treated. She became, because of the way she was treated, she was discouraged.
And she didn't know what to do. Absolutely. I found myself that way before. I've been discouraged, didn't know what to do. All I knew to do was stand. Having done all, just stand. Just believe God. Just believe in His promises. Just know that He intends for good to come my way. And some of you I know have felt the very same thing. Abraham, because of his wife's resentment and harsh treatment of Hagar, was at a loss of what to do. Hagar wanted him to drive and send her away send Ishmael. By the way, his name means God hears. Did y'all know that? His name means God hears. And later on, you're going to find out that God hears. God hears. Wouldn't you like to have a name that meant something? Wouldn't you like for your name to mean God hears? Every time they said Ishmael, they're saying, God hears. What a word of encouragement. Every time your name's spoken, it means God's going to hear you. Well, aren't you a child of God? Don't you think you could put that as part of your name? God hears. I know my God hears. I know my God's more than enough. I know my God comes on the scene and makes a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. But this young man needed to hear that every time, because here they are. They're getting ready to be thrust into a new environment out in the middle of the wilderness. And every time she calls his name, is saying, Ishmael, or God hears us. God's hearing us. God hasn't forsaken us. God's going to hear us. And so here they are. She's been driven away into the desert. In chapter 16, verse 13, Hagar had an encounter with God there at a well. She knew from that encounter that God was a God who sees. If you read chapter 16, verse 13, you'll find out that when she was there, God showed up and spoke to her and told her, go back. Go back. And there it is on the screen. And he called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou, God, seest me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? God sees us. Do you understand that God knows exactly where you're at right now? He knows exactly the spiritual condition you're in right now. He knows exactly your health problems right now. He knows your financial difficulties right now. He knows your relationship difficulties right now, whether it be with a child or a strange husband, or I hope none of you have got that going on right now. But whatever your situation is, God sees. God sees it. He understands if you're walking in grief today and it's almost overwhelming you, God sees. And God understands, and God's on the scene, and He hasn't forsaken you. And so Hagar understood that because she had had an encounter with God. She realized that God had seen him. So here she is, about to receive the attention of God, who sees all and is gracious to all. And she, although she's being thrust into a new environment, being kicked out of her house and home with nothing but the clothes on her back, a skin of water and a little bit of food, she knows that God sees. Why does she know that? Because she had an encounter with God at another time of her life. How many of you, although you may be going through the valley today, you have had the mountaintop experience. You have had the time when God came through for you. You have experienced the move of God. You have experienced the miracle of God. It may not have seemed like such a miracle at the time, but all of a sudden God came through, and that thing which you thought was going to destroy you, all of a sudden it was behind you. You were still walking, and you were not only just walking, you were walking victorious because God saw. That's how Hagar is here. She knows God hasn't forsaken him, and she knows, although she knew he was a God who lives and sees even the least among us. Have you ever felt like you was so tall or so short that you could hang your legs off the edge of carpet and swing them? Have you ever felt that low? That's pretty low. That's pretty low. I felt that low before. I mean, I am nothing. I'm the least. I don't deserve anything. But yet God saw, and he came through. So because of the resentment of Sarah, Hagar and the boy are sent with some bread and a vessel of water. There are some things that discourage us. Every one of us have went through something at one time or another that has discouraged us, brought us as low as we could be. But yet here you are today, and you may be in another valley. And although there are things that discourage you, you understand that God sees. He's all-knowing. He's all-caring. And God's all-powerful. So there are things that discourage us. And secondly, there are things that devastate us. There's one thing to be discouraged. There's another thing to be devastated. Hagar finds herself in the wilderness of Beersheba, a wide, extensive desert on the southern border of Palestine. Have you ever felt like you were in a desert place? There's an old Henson song. It's called God Is Your Oasis. It's a new Henson song. They sang it several years ago, and I can't remember all the words, or I'd quote them to you because I like doing that. But God is your oasis. And part of the verse is sometimes you feel like you're in a desert place. And it seems like you can't go on. Here she is in a desert place. She's about to run out of water. She's about to run out of food. And if anyone was having a genuine wilderness experience, it was her and her son. Here she was in a place of difficulty. She was alone and she was without hope. Have you ever found yourself like that? Felt like nobody around you cared about you? Not even your spouse, nor your children, nobody at your workplace. Just nobody cared about you. Even the people at Walmart didn't like you. Here you are giving them money and they act like they can't stand you. Have you ever felt like you're just alone? I mean, you could be in a crowd and you was alone. We've all felt that way probably at one time. And some of you, maybe you haven't. You've just been very fortunate people or so blessed of God. So very blessed of God. Sometimes, you know, Johnny Rivers sang a song many, many years, The Tracks of My Tears. The Tracks of My Tears. And he would be in a crowd and in a happy place and he might be the life of the party, he said, but yet you're not looking close enough, because if you look close enough, you'd see the tracks of my tears. Have you ever been like that? You're in a place and you're around people and yet you're inside, you're just crushed, and inside you're hopeless, and inside you're lost, and inside you don't know what you're going to do. That's Hagar. That's Hagar. Here she is in a desert. She's helpless. She's desperate. She's alone. She's without hope. She wasn't sitting to that desert with multiple camels loaded down with supplies. She was not being transported in a nice carriage with an entourage of servants. All she had was a few days worth of food and a vessel, a skin of water, the Bible says. It would not last long enough to even reach the nearest village. Now that seems like cruel and unusual punishment for your concubine, let alone your own flesh and blood son. I'm going to send them out into the desert. I'm going to give them enough food to last just a few days. And I'm going to give them a skin of water. And if it lasts, it lasts. If they live, they live. Now, Abraham in the back of his mind felt like that she could probably survive because she had family somewhere in that desert. That's where she had came from, that area. So he figured she knew a way to someplace, but yet he didn't give her enough supplies to get there. I guess he just assumed those nomadic ramblers of her family would find her. Well, what was the chances of them finding her, let alone wanting her back? You don't know for sure how they may have treated her after years of being a servant of Abraham. You don't know how things may have changed, but she had a few days to live. She finds herself alone, without food and without water. She could barely find a shrub to get some shade under. Out in a desert. I can't imagine being in a desert. But yet, spiritually, I've been in a desert. No food, no water. The heat of trials and tribulation bearing down upon me. You felt the same way, haven't you? Wondered where God was at. Can I just get a little relief? Is there some relief to be had somewhere? That's how she felt. I imagine didn't have to trace the tracks of her tears. I imagine you could just watch them flow. She was in a desperate situation. She had no hope. She's alone. She sets the boy under a shrub. Now she's devastated, guys. She's not just discouraged, find out they're going to kick her out. Now she's been kicked out. Told to go into this desert, get out of here, get away from us, don't ever come back. She's discouraged. I'm out here. I'm out of food and I'm out of water. I can't survive in this desert. 110 degrees in the shade, or maybe even hotter in that desert, probably hotter than that. I can't survive any longer. I'm just going to find a shrub, put the boy under it, tell him to stay there. I'm going to go a bow shot away over here, far enough away I can't hear him cry. Now, he's 18 years old, 17, 18 years old, but he had been taught to obey. And he's probably so weak, and he's discouraged. And he can't understand what's happened to him. He's went from a child of privilege. Come on now. If anybody got a good bunch of Christmas gift, it was him. Anybody got the best morsel of meat, it was him. Anybody had favor in the camp, it was him. Anybody could do anything they wanted to and get away with it, it was him. Now he finds himself in a desert place with nothing, no hope, no servants, no food, no water, and a mama that is so discouraged she don't know what to do. So he sits under the tree. He's 17 years old. He's not an infant or a toddler here. He's almost a grown man. She goes a good way off so that she doesn't have to witness the death of her boy. And she begins to weep bitterly. Oh, at your lowest moment, that's when God comes through. At your lowest time, if you'll just cry out to Jesus, that's when he comes through. You may seem like he's abandoned you. You may seem like you've been forsaken by him, but you haven't. The world may have forsaken you. Your family may have forsaken you. You may be down and out at the end of your rope, but God has not forgotten you. God sees. And we still need to understand that. So she goes off. But then, while she's crying out in bitterness, the Bible says that the boy also was crying out in desperation. And God heard him. Number three, there are some truths that can delight us. The truth that delights, in verse 12, it says, and God. And God. I think I've lost my place here. I have lost my place, but I'm going to find it. Verse 12 in chapter 20. Is it for what chapter am I supposed to be in? 21. Okay, that's why it didn't look right. And it says in verse 12, and God said to Abraham. Now God began to speak. Abraham was having problems with sending this child and his mother out into the wilderness. But the Bible here says, and God said, do it. And God said, do it. It's going to drive them into desperation. It's going to drive them into discouragement, but do it. Why? Because God was about to do something. God was going to show himself strong on their behalf. And when it seems like all hope is gone, God speaks. When it seems like you can't go on any further, God speaks. Doesn't that delight you when you know that you know that you know that you know that God has spoke to you, that God is on the scene, that God hasn't forsaken you, that God is never, Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he means it? It may seem like he's left you, it may seem like you're forsaken, but you haven't been because God, and God, and God said, and God said, and he said, Isaiah 40:27 says this, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by, has passed over by. Why do you say that? And why would we say that today, that my way is hidden? God doesn't know what I'm going through. God doesn't understand what my problem is. God doesn't see how desperate I am. Yes, he does too. But God was challenging Israel here. Why are you saying my way is hidden? Church, I challenge you today. When it seems like you can't go any further, seems like you went as far as you can go, seems like nobody cares anymore, God is saying, I still see. Your way is not hidden to me. You're not lost to me. Your claim is not being passed over. I understand about it. I'm about to make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. I'm about to come on the scene. And they were, although Israel was not questioning God's omnipotence, they were questioning his goodwill. And oftentimes we're the same way. I know you're all-powerful, God. I know you're all-seeing. I know you're God. I know you're El Shaddai. I know you're Jehovah Jireh. I know you're my healer. I know these things, Lord, but it seems that you have not shown me any goodwill. I've served you all my life. I've been faithful in my giving. I've been faithful to my church. I've made myself available to the pastor to do things in the church. And God, it seems like you don't care. You haven't noticed. God has noticed. He said, why are you questioning me? Why are you questioning that I can see you? Why are you questioning that I'm coming on the scene? There are truths that should delight us today, and one of those is this: God has not forsaken you. He still sees. Would the Lord bless his people again? I believe he will. Would the Lord bless Hagar and Ishmael as he promised in Genesis 16 and 10 when she fled from Sarah? Let's put that up, Genesis 16 and 10. Let's see what it says, Caleb. Put something up there, boy, I'm wanting to go deer hunting all of a sudden. Genesis 16 and 10. Can you do it? You did it. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Hagar, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for the multitudes. Here she is about 15, 16 years later. That has not happened. First off, her son's not old enough to get married, so it hadn't happened yet. Now here she is, thinking that her son's the son of promise, and he's going to be the heir of Abraham, and now all of a sudden they're in the desert. She has to think back to where she heard from God, and God said, your son, I will multiply your seed, your son's seed, and they'll not be numbered. There'll be so many of them, you can't number them. She has to think back. Okay, God promised me that. That means if he promised me that, he has to fulfill it. If he said it, he'll do it, because God's not a man that he should lie. God won't lie to me. So would he do what he promised when she fled from Sarah? Yes, he would. God said he would multiply her descendants exceedingly so she could not be counted for the multitude. But Sarah was in a desert place. And it seemed that all hope was gone. The hope of that promise was gone. I'm in a desert. Where's God at now? God, what about your goodwill towards me? Oh, but God. But God, Isaiah 40:28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Hey, he doesn't faint and he's not weary. He understands everything. He knows where you're at, Hagar. He knows how you're hurting today. Church, he knows where you're at today. He knows your hurt. He knows your pain. He knows your heartache. He knows your situation better than you know your situation. And better than your situation, knowing your situation, he knows the outcome. He knows the results of what's going on. He knows how it's going to be for your good and not for your bad. He knows how he's going to complete you in this situation. He knows how he's going to bring you through it. Come on, church. You ought to be excited today. God hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't forsaken you. So the Lord will not, he doesn't faint, nor is he weary. In other words, he meets the needs of his people. Psalmist David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. In other words, God meets the needs of his people. God comes on the scene for his people. He doesn't faint. He doesn't get weary. He meets the needs of his people. He'll never let his people down. He had not forgotten his promise to Hagar and Ishmael. They just needed to wait because the help was on the way. Be patient. Be patient. Your help's on the way. Your hope is in the Lord, so your help's on the way. But it seems like it's taken forever, Pastor. This woman waited 17 years. For a promise, and then was kicked out of the house. David waited years to become king of Israel. Had the promise of being the king, and then had to run from Saul. Come on, he had defeated a giant before then. He had slew a bear and a lion. A mighty warrior. And here he is, finds himself in a wilderness place, running, hiding, afraid. Can you imagine how afraid she must have been? I mean, there's lions and bears and, you know, tigers. My, oh, my, you know. There's all kinds of stuff out there. There were snakes and, you know, adders. And there were scorpions and there were nomadic marauders out there. No telling what might happen to us if God doesn't come on the scene. Besides that, we're out of water and food. You know, we could go a few days without food, but we can't go very long in this desert without water. But help was on the way. Verse 17 says, and God heard.
What did we say earlier? They begin to cry out. She wept bitter tears. What am I going to do? My son is going to die. It's not so bad, Lord, that I die, but my son is going to die. I know you as parents would feel that very same way if you thought one of your children were about to die. Lord, take my life. Take mine. Let them live. I've lived mine. Let them live. Wouldn't you feel that way? Lord, don't take my child's life. Let him live. Let him have a life. But here they are. But it says, and God heard. What wonderful words they are. What a wonderful truth to understand that when you cry out in your misery, cry out in your desperation, God hears. God hears. He's not faint, nor is he weary, and he hears. There's no pain of God's people that he doesn't hear. That he doesn't answer. That he doesn't come on the scene. The Lord was near to deliver the child, and the child would not die. That's exciting, isn't it? Isaiah 53 says, surely, in the last part of one of them verses, I don't know which one it was, but it says, surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We looked at him esteemed, smitten of God, you know. Anyway, you know the scripture about Jesus coming to earth and what he dying for us. Jesus, our Savior, came to suffer and die for our sins. If he came to suffer and die for our sins, certainly he's going to come on the scene to meet our need. Your greatest need is salvation, by the way. Secondly to that is your other needs, but that greatest need is salvation. And he came to die for us. And he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Never. You can count on that. And you can count on that. Verse 19, it says, then God, another beautiful phrase denoting help from above. It says, then God heard and God opened her eyes as she saw a well of water. Or when then God, another beautiful, our hope is in God today. One passage of scripture and one version said, then God, that and says, and God. But either way you want to look at it, it's this. God came through. He came searching for them. Although he knew where he was at, he found them, and God came through. Our hope is in God. Our trust is in God. Our faith is in God. And our afflictions and trials will come every now and then. We will face them. And we may not always comprehend God's ways as he in his wisdom carries out his plans. But we can trust God. And God heard them. And God met the need. And God came through. And God provided a well where there wasn't a well of water to sustain them in the desert. And God will do the same for you. He's God. NIV version of Romans 11:36 says, I think it's NIV, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who had known the mind of the Lord, or who had been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. You can't outdo God. You can't search the depths and the riches of his wisdom and the knowledge and his judgments. You can't trace out God's path. You're not smart enough. You can't do it. But God's wisdom supersedes our wisdom, and God knows best. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. You're in a valley. Trust him. You've been on a mountaintop at one time or another. Why can't you trust him in this valley? Why is this worse than the last one? God's going to come through. He knows what you need before you do, and he'll supply all that you need, not only to survive, but to be victorious over all the enemies of your soul. The devil's the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Why can't you trust God that he means that? Why can't you trust that Christ means that? You believe the lies of the devil oftentimes. Why not believe the riches, the truths of God's word? In Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2, it says this, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, in my God in whom I trust. Church, you need to trust God. God is coming through for you. God is not leaving you in the desert, no more than He left Hagar in the desert. And so in verse 20 it says, God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and become an archer. Just a few short verses earlier, he was about to die of starvation and dehydration. Needed food and water, or he was going to die and never live again. Now all of a sudden, just a few short verses after they cried out to God, God who had not forgot them, a God who hears. And the Bible says, and God was with the lad. What's that mean? The lad lived. It means the child lived. And it goes on to say later on, his mama got him a wife, and he began to replenish the earth like God said he would. He did everything God said he would do. He became the man God said he would become. Right after that point of desperation, maybe we need to get desperate. Maybe we need to get desperate. And God worked it all out for the good of Hagar and Ishmael. For we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. You need to remember that, church. There's a man named Jay Rawlings, in closing, a man named Jay Rawlings found himself alone and forsaken. He got a letter in it one day, and it were these words. Just remember, somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Church, remember, somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. After you went through it for a while, understand this. God's going to come through, the God of all grace. Maybe you're going to suffer a while, but it's going to perfect you. It's going to establish you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to settle you. Understand, all things work together for the good to them who are called to God. Understand that today. To God be the glory. You see, God is working through your struggles to produce strength of character. Keep the faith. To God be the glory. Trust God. He can heal a broken heart. He healed Hagar's heart, and He'll heal yours. I don't know what you're going through. Why would God do that? Because our God is more than enough. He can supply all of our needs. He is our El Shaddai. He always looks out for you. He's our God. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I can go through this trial. I can go through this valley. I can make it because Christ is strengthening me. He hasn't forsaken me. Christ's power and strength rest upon every believer. Every believer. And enables them to do all He has asked of them. He ain't going to put more on you than you can bear. He'll never put more on you than you can bear. He might drive you to your knees, but you can bear up under it. It may look hopeless, but it's not. May look like you're at the end, but you're not at the end. You're just at the beginning. Trust God. Romans 8:37 says this, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise. What promise. What a promise. What truth that should delight you today to know that you've not been forsaken. You've not been forsaken. In our spiritual journey, if we fail in our spiritual journey, I should say, it will not be from a lack of divine grace and love, but from our own neglect. See, if Hagar had failed to cry out to God, she'd have been lost in the desert. If the boy hadn't cried out to God, they'd been lost in the desert. But instead, they cried out to God, and God heard. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. There's a song, my second closing, and this will be it. There's a song by Jamie Smith, and I love this song, called Your Love is Deep. It goes like this. Your love is deep, your love is high. Your love is long, your love is wide. Deeper than my view of grace, higher than this worldly place, longer than this road I travel, wider than the gap you filled. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from your love? Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from your love. And I believe that's a fact today. Church, you can make it. You can be victorious. You are overcomers. When you're going through a desert place, cry out to Jesus. Find you a shade. Get on your face before God and believe that living waters are on the way. Believe that you're going to drink water from the wells of salvation again, and trust God to bring you through. When you're going through a spiritual drought, don't give up. Hang in there. Hang in there. God's not finished yet, nor has He forsaken you. Amen. Stand to your feet.